In this morning's gospel, we have the story of the road to Emmaus. And I like to subtitle this gospel story, The Very First Bible Study Ever. And it probably was in some ways the very first Christian Bible study of all time. Because these lucky two walking on their way to Emmaus had Jesus himself talk about all of the references in the Old Testament that pointed to and explained the Messiah and what his role was and what he had come to do. Now, we have Bible study here every other Wednesday evening, and while I can't promise that Jesus will bodily show up to teach us, it is a pretty good time. But this was the first Bible study in history. Now, the location of Emmaus, the village in this story, has been argued about by scholars and historians over the centuries. Originally, way back, Crusaders originally picked a certain town and said that, well, this is about the right distance away from Jerusalem for the story, and so they sort of dubbed that that was Emmaus. And then so for centuries afterwards, they built churches and had shrines. But in recent centuries, new scholarship kind of points to a different town as being the original site of Emmaus, the place where Cleopas and his friend were on the way to. This town is actually called Matzah. Now, I don't know if this is where matzah balls came from. I doubt it. I think that's Yiddish, not Hebrew. But about a mile north of the modern town of Matzah, there are ruins that archaeologists think were probably the original town of Emmaus. Now, not that you care a whole lot about this, but the reason they figure that too is if you take the Hebrew name of the town of Matzah and put the in front of it, it actually kind of translates pretty readily to the Greek word Emmaus. So that's a little background on Emmaus. But it's really not so important what the name of the village was that these two disciples were on their way to. Probably more important in our understanding of what this story is about is where they were on their way away from. We know that they were leaving Jerusalem, dejected, crestfallen. And as we look in the Gospels, journeying toward Jerusalem means something. In each of the Gospel accounts of Jesus' ministry, there's a specific turning point where he goes from his normal traveling around and preaching of the kingdom and performing miracles and healings. In each of the Gospels, there's a point where something changes, and he turns his face toward Jerusalem. And from that point forward, as Jesus travels towards Jerusalem, he knows he's walking towards the cross, and he's walking into the plan that God has for him. So in a very real sense, whenever we look at the Gospels, when we see journey towards Jerusalem, it's symbolic of being in line with God's mission for your life. So, as we see these two disciples, it's important to note that they're walking away from Jerusalem, that they're walking away from the city of promise. Now, we kind of have to put ourselves in their shoes a little bit and imagine how they must have felt. Luke gives us a little bit of a clue here. He tells us that they stop and that they are sad, that they are very sad. They're heartbroken as Jesus in disguise asks them what they are talking about. You see, they had hoped that the story was going to go a different way. Just a few days earlier, they had entered Jerusalem with Jesus in triumph. And just about all of those people expected the story of Jesus of Nazareth to play out in a certain way. They were sure because of the way he taught, of the miracles he performed, of the signs of God that surrounded him, that this was the Messiah. This was the descendant of David who would reclaim the throne of Israel. And so they thought that this was going to play out in a very certain way, that he was going to enter Jerusalem, claim the throne of David, and the people of Israel would rise up behind him with the power of God at their side, and that the Romans would be kicked out, and that they would no longer be oppressed, and that things would be set right in the world again. You can imagine how they must have felt when not only did that not happen, the exact opposite happened. They thought that the plan was going to play out a certain way, and instead this Jesus of Nazareth, who they thought was going to claim the throne and the crown of David, ended up with a crown of thorns on a Roman cross, crucified and rejected by Israel. Now, as they're walking away from Jerusalem, that's what's in their hearts and minds. They had big plans. They had big plans for Jesus and what was going to follow and the way the story was going to play out. And everything went sideways on them. Now, that's an interesting phrase as I was kind of putting this sermon together, things going sideways. When I was 16 years old and had just started driving, I made some foolish decisions, as I think many 16-year-olds do. And it was my first icy day out driving. And I thought, boy, you know what? I want to learn how to drive in the ice, so I better test and see what this car can do on ice. Well, I found out very quickly that whenever you hit your brakes on ice, things go sideways very, very quickly. And it wasn't so much the fact that going into the ditch was a horrible thing. That was actually a relief, because the ditch was the end of the journey. The really scary part was whenever I was sideways and backwards, and then sideways again, and then backwards again. That sick feeling in your stomach whenever things are completely out of your control. And I think about that experience sometimes because life kind of puts us in situations like that. Hopefully not if you're new drivers, you don't do that. Don't hit your brakes on ice. But life has a way of kind of sliding off the path that we intend. Things get sideways. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but I wonder if kids that grow up in the South even know what that means. I suppose it rains a lot in Florida, but there's not much ice. They probably have another term for what happens when things get out of control. But our lives can end up sideways, and that's the scary part. We thought we were headed in a certain direction. We thought we had things planned out. We thought God was on board with what our plans were, and then things end up not the way we expected them to. And that's where these two were, on their journey away from Jerusalem and towards Emmaus. Their lives were completely sideways. I'm sure they had given up jobs and walked away from family to follow Jesus, and everything they hoped for was dashed. All of their hopes were crushed. But this story has a very important turning point of its own. It's when Jesus walks alongside them, when they encounter Jesus. And after they recognize him in the breaking of the bread, they think back and they say, boy, something was changing inside of us as we walked down that road and he talked to us. We should have known who that was, but something inside us changed. Our hearts were burning when this Jesus encountered us on the road. And I think really that is the lesson for us this morning. Life is going to get sideways on us. We have plans that we hope for, and we have hopes, whether it is in our careers and our jobs, whether it's broken relationships in our families that we hope to try to heal and bring back together again. We have a trajectory that we hope things turn out the way that we want them to. But if we've lived long enough, we know that that's not always the case, that things slide off the road, things get sideways. But we don't have to lose hope. Because whenever we meet Jesus, better said, when Jesus meets us along the road, things change. The externals may not change. We may still not get the job. That relationship in our family may still be a special challenge and difficulty. But when Jesus encounters us along the road, what changes is the inside of us. Our hearts change. And when our hearts change, our perspective changes. We begin to see the world a little differently. And we maybe start to realize that we have reason to hope after all. We encounter Jesus in many ways. We encounter him in his word as we hear the word of God proclaimed. We encounter him in sacrament when we come forward to the altar at the end of our service today. We encounter him in our personal prayer. But don't neglect those times when Jesus comes to us and he's a little hard to see. Whether it is a phone call or an interaction with a coworker or something that we read on Facebook, I honestly believe that Jesus is constantly trying to find ways to help us realize that he's walking alongside of us, that he's always walking alongside of us, and he's always ready to take our hopes and buoy them up with his life and what he gives to each of us. All of us here today know what it means to have things turn out not the way that we expected. All of us, in some way or at some time, are on the way away from Jerusalem and towards Emmaus with our heads hung low in disappointment. But it doesn't have to stay that way for us. In the light of Easter morning, Jesus is with us, and we have reason to hope.